Lecture 40, The Crisis of Renaissance Europe.
Welcome to lecture number 40 in our series on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture is entitled The Crisis of Renaissance Europe. This lecture actually inaugurates a series of three in which we'll talk about the world of the Renaissance. What we'll try to do in this lecture is look at the period from about 1300 to about 1500. Again, as often in the past, nothing too sacred about those dates. They're notional. And we'll try to have an understanding of the political, the ecclesiastical, and the material conditions inside of which the phenomenon that we call the Renaissance played itself out. Now, in the next couple of lectures, we'll turn more precisely to that Renaissance phenomenon, and we'll then offer some definitions. For now, let's just say we're going to look at Europe between about 1300 and 1500. Now, right away we can ask ourselves, how should we think about this period? One famous old way of thinking about it, taking inspiration from the title of a book, is the waning of the Middle Ages. So should our interpretive categories emphasize decline, disruption, despair? Another way to look at this is to say it's the dawn of a new era. Should we see initiative, originality, creativity? Well, in fact, both views have long been prevalent. Both views have been applied to Europe in the 14th and 15th centuries. So, as I said, in this and in the next couple of lectures, we'll be teasing out a meaning of this Renaissance phenomenon and Renaissance period. But in this lecture in particular, we'll focus on the conditions of life behind the Renaissance, so that the next two lectures can take up that phenomenon itself in a little bit stricter terms. Now, certain very broad trends are very much evident in this period. Certain very broad trends, indeed, that were already evident in about 1300. We can say, generally speaking, that the trends that we saw in the 12th and 13th centuries persist in the 14th and 15th. For example, in areas where there was centralization, we see an intensification of that. In areas where there was fragmentation, we see an intensification of that. The single great political fact of Europe in the 14th and 15th centuries is the Hundred Years' War between France and England. So we'll devote a little attention to that in just a few minutes. This was, on the whole, a period that was rich in disastrous problems for the church. Though we have seen that there were problems in the 12th and 13th centuries, this was still an age of triumphant clerical culture and of papal monarchy. Those phenomena were going to be called very much into question in the 14th and 15th centuries. Now, the great facts here are the Babylonian captivity of the papacy, that is to say, the time when the popes were in Avignon in the south of France, and the great schism, the great split in the church itself, times when there were rival and competing popes. But we shouldn't view the late Middle Ages in terms of its religious life as only a time of problems for the church. Or we could extend that discussion and say, yes, there was anti-clericalism. Yes, there were perhaps fewer evident signs of reform and revival vitality than in earlier periods, but there were signs of deep religious faith among ordinary people, and we would go far wrong if we missed those. The most dramatic developments of this period, unquestionably, were the demographic and then the economic and social problems that we associate with the Black Death, the great outbreak of bubonic plague. So, let's look at politics, let's look at the church and religion, and let's look at demography and economics. Well, begin with the political shape of Europe. I said the great fact here is the Hundred Years' War, so let's begin with that. Now, the Hundred Years' War, a bit of a misnomer, it lasted from 1337 to 1453, which is about 116 years, or thereabouts. The Hundred Years' War, anyway, was the all but inevitable outcome of the long-standing enmity between England and France occasioned by the continental interests of the English kings. Remember, William the Conqueror comes over from Normandy in 1066, retains his interest in Normandy, even though he's king of England.